Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are continuing our discussion about responding to and interpreting supernatural means of guidance, specifically hindrances to divine guidance, the three enemies that keep us from being able to respond purely and completely and 100%. And those three enemies that we have are the world system, our own flesh, and the devil and his buddies. So we've talked about the world system, and again, that we can generally break down into the religious system, time pressure, and peer pressure. So if you want to review that, I'd recommend you go back and really catch up on that. Because one of the things we want to be able to do, and this is why we spend time on identifying the difference between the world system, our flesh, and the devil, is because we want to know our enemies so we're battling in the right warfare. The devil gets blamed for a lot of things that aren't in his bailiwick. And so when we continue to insist on, okay, if something's going wrong, it must be the devil's fault, we're going to have problems. Because then basically, really, he doesn't have to do anything. Because all our energy and attention is being wasted. So we don't want to be ignorant about our enemies. So the world system is just as significant an enemy as the devil. And yet we often ignore this fallen world's pressures on us, and ignoring that gives it power over us. Because we have a soul and we live in an earth body, even though we are a spirit being, we have ties to this world. And if we are living out of our soul, and up until becoming a Christian, we have lived out of our soul, those ties to this earth, to this world, have influence over our lives. Now, obviously, God created the earth, and how it works, and everything's under his control, but that also means that it's meant to be under our control as well. So when we start feeling, for instance, time pressure and peer pressure, those are pressures. When we start feeling pushed, odds are that's not from the Lord. We never want to say never, but usually he draws us. He wants us to want him, so he entices us in a direction. So when we feel pushed in a direction, it's likely from the world's system, that category, as well as misunderstanding and our own history and many other areas where we also experience the world system as a hindrance to knowing God and receiving his divine guidance. Then our flesh, our self-life, your soulical way of doing things. Recognize this. It really takes insight from the Lord. We can deal with, we can all see our own faults to some extent, but it takes real insight revealed to us from God to be able to see and deal with what He is putting His finger on at any given time. Last week we talked extensively about picturing your crutches, your solical life, as a wall that you created around your soul and body to protect it, to provide for its needs. Well, I want you to think of, now that you've become spirit is trying to get in. That's who you truly are, as a spirit being. That's on the other side of the wall from your soul. So your soul is working to get rid of that wall so you can become one, spirit, soul, and body. But also, that spirit is, think of your being as a town. And in the middle of your town is a well. That well is access by the Spirit. So your Spirit is coming from on the outside and from the inside. We talk about spring up, oh well. Well, that's inside of you, and your Spirit is also on the outside. So that wall is going to be targeted from both directions, from inside and out. The best we can do, because you remember that your soul is what built the wall, and when our soul tries to get involved, it's going to continue to try to do things its own way. Until your soul is perfectly under the control of God, and there's areas of our lives where that happens first. For instance, there may be a wall breach in one area where He's been able to bring your soul in an area and into oneness with the Spirit. But until that happens to your complete being, there's going to be a challenge for that soul to want to do things its own way, the way it's always done it. Your soul is in the process of learning to be joined to the Spirit. And in the meantime, it's continuing to do things its own way. This is part of the challenge of when a believer is trying to overcome challenges and things going on in their life. Very often they'll experience a release or a change, but then will struggle to maintain that change because they have not learned how to be united, soul and spirit, and they have reverted back to trying to rely on their soul. So knowing God takes patience and perseverance and being responsive to Him, and always comes back to being able to hear His voice, test it, and then act on it. So your soul doesn't want to relinquish control. It likes that wall. So the flesh doesn't want to die. Your soul doesn't want to let go of that control it has. So we embrace the opportunities to need to depend on the Spirit. The more we can be in those kinds of situations, the more opportunities we're giving the spirit to knock down our walls. This is one of the reasons, again, that the Lord puts us in situations where we need his guidance, where he puts us in situations where we don't know what to do, how to handle it. That's really hard for our soul. And one of the reasons, one of the responses is we try to come up with how to handle it out of our own soul. That can even be relying on others we know, our own history, our own strengths and weaknesses, our own abilities. If we are strong in our mind, we'll try to figure it out. Okay, what would be a reasonable response to this situation? If we're emotion-based, we might go, okay, what feels right? This really gives me peace. If we are just have a strong will, we just want to do the first thing or what's the easiest or what's the most impactful. Let's just try something. We remember that the soul God gave you is the one he wanted you to have, and there's nothing wrong with it. He doesn't hold it against us that we are made the way he made us. In fact, he doesn't hold anything against us. But our challenge is to not rely on it. And it is his timing that he puts his finger on different things. It's not our choosing. And a lot of times we're dealing with things that we think he's the most concerned about, and yet he's over on the other side of the wall taking out huge swaths of brick. He's making huge headway because he has us distracted over on the other side. But if we don't understand what he's doing, we may go right on, find that place of victory where the soul and the spirit have been able to join up and recreate that wall. Start to rebuild it. So we want to understand the process and the purpose that God is doing for the situations we find ourselves in, that he has created for you. So our flesh hinders divine guidance in three main ways: our need for control, our temperament, personal expectations, and our history, and also codependency. So we've been talking about our soulical need for control. That's how your soul responded to not having access to life, to eternal life, is to control its situation. That's the purpose of the wall, to keep resources in and protect it from unknown circumstances on the outside. Main one being rejection. Second is temperament, personal expectations, and history. That's the second hindrance. Now, these are, especially since we're talking about our soul, Christians have a very difficult grasp on what their soul is. And there's a reason for that, is it's hard to be in the middle of something and try to comprehend what you're in. It's like being in a tornado and trying to objectively evaluate the tornado while you're in it. Yeah, as well as the tornado is so powerful and doesn't want to be observed. The tornado is just doing what it does. So your soulical life, your flesh, your crutches, your wall is just doing what you made it to do, and it's doing a fine job and doesn't want to be torn down. And you really don't want to tear it down because it's functioned well. But your spirit is not going to allow that wall to remain. Now, your wall was created according to certain attributes of your soul. And those attributes are what we can refer to as your temperament. God designed your soul by combining the elements of mind, will, and emotion according to his plan. Your temperament is well-pleasing to God. It ain't broke, and he ain't going to fix it. So in removing the wall, he is not out to change your soul, but simply to merge your soul with your spirit. That wall is not your soul. It's something your soul created. So removal of that wall, we begin to see what your soul truly is. And it is good and well-pleasing to God. So though your temperament is God-given, your soul was never meant to meet your needs, and it is not able to. And it is not who you truly are. It's only a part of you. Before you became a Christian, though, your strengths were the only resources you had available. And you created ways to compensate and hide your weaknesses. Now, especially to deal with your weaknesses and accommodate your strengths, you created a personal belief system. And you may have even chosen a religion or a way of life or an approach to life that suited your strengths and weaknesses. What you believe about yourself, what you believe about others, what you believe about God were all formed around your strengths and weaknesses in your soul. Then the behavior, how you acted, the decisions you made were based on those beliefs. And then tomorrow you're going to decide what you're going to do based on today. And that was based on yesterday. And so it's a slow buildup of behaviors based on beliefs that were built on your strengths and weaknesses in your soul. And those strengths or weaknesses are on their own until they are one with God. So throughout our life, we each face each day according to our history, according to yesterday, how things worked. When we tried something, how did it work? When we tried acting on our strengths and hiding our weaknesses, how did that work? But the Lord wants to challenge and question both our beliefs and our behaviors without breaking our temperament. Remember, your soul is fine, but it's those beliefs and behaviors that fortify those walls. So for the walls to come down, God is going to challenge our beliefs and our behaviors. What we believe and what we do because of those beliefs. For instance, if you believe that God doesn't love you, you are going to behave accordingly. Or if you believe he only loves you if you are perfect, or if you meet certain standards. When you don't meet those standards, you're going to have certain reactions. You're going to try harder. You're going to feel guilty. You're going to feel separated from God. Now, those are all based on lies. but they will feel true because there's that wall there. You have a behavior and a belief based on lies. One of God's goals is to set your temperament free, your soul free, to be united to your spirit, to be what He created it to be. But to do this, we must move from reliance on our temperament, from reliance on that wall to protect us, to reliance on the living water that is in that well, both within and without. So, one thing to remember is that when you became a Christian, you were re-spirited. You were born again in your spirit. And your spirit has already agreed to everything God wants to do in your life. So you don't have to worry about missing Him in the past. What you are simply learning now is what He is already doing. Just because you didn't know about your flesh and your wall and your crutches doesn't mean God wasn't working on them. He has been. But now He wants you to participate in His actions, joining Him in the process, so you can enjoy Him, so you can experience the life and the love, the eternal life now. So be willing to change. Change is hard, especially when we don't know what the results will be, especially when we're talking about tearing down walls that have been effective. They have protected us. They have provided the protection of our resources. They've worked, and God allowed them to work. But now they are a hindrance to the free flow, the free access to that eternal life. So be willing to be set free and guided and directed in new ways. For instance, some are controlled by their emotions and make decisions according to how they feel, what feels right. Others, again, need to reason it out. And others just really don't decide. They just do something. Let's try something. But none of these is divine guidance. Relying on our own temperament strengths will inhibit our ability to learn how to rely on divine guidance. God will not let that wall stand. We might as well resign ourselves to that and just go, okay, Lord, what are we working on? Is there anything I need to, any beliefs I need to change, anything you want to talk to me about? It's not good to dictate to God what He needs to talk to you about. But being available to Him, spending time with Him, letting Him have access to any area of your life, of your history, and letting Him do the work. He's going to be the one to... We can only build the wall. Only He can tear it down. And this is something we need to remind ourselves of over and over again for the rest of our lives. This is something that is so personal, that this is part of our, a big part of our purpose of being able to hear His voice and recognizing His presence. Is those are the about the only thing that really speeds things up, to be able to perceive the changes that He's doing. He's going to do them, but He wants us to be aware of them and participate. He does not want us ignorant. Finally, the third aspect of hindrances from our flesh is codependency. Now, we're all real familiar with the term, but many Christians have the mistaken belief that it is their job to make God happy by obeying Him, by giving Him glory, or measuring up to His standards, following His laws. But God is complete and entire in Himself and does not need us to meet any of His needs. God is happy, content, and satisfied with Himself at all times. There's never a time when He feels lack. Oh my gosh, my people aren't glorifying me enough. Or I'm not getting enough honor. I'm not getting enough praise and worship. He is never needy. Instead, the relationship He wants with us is one of freedom, where we can be who and what we are, and He can be who and what He is. He doesn't like role playing. And He doesn't want us to play a role. Many Christians also believe that their failures, or even disagreeing, for instance, with their leaders, or questioning doctrine, is a disappointment to others. But think, now that you have a new spiritual identity, we can already unconditionally accept one another where they are. You don't have to wonder, do I love that person? I don't like them, but do I love them? Do I forgive them? Absolutely, you do. I've never met most of you, probably never will, but I can tell you if you have been born again, you do, because it's part of your identity. It's not something you do, it's something you are. You are loving, you are forgiving, you are encouraging, you are accepting. So we can begin to recognize the attempts to manipulate and let them roll off our backs. This frees us to maintain God alone as our leader, our comforter, our friend, our confidant, and our provider. So what does that mean in real life? As we are working on that wall, and really that's the personal change that's going on, it's not about achieving a purpose, achieving a level, arriving, exercising your gifts, establishing a ministry, finding your purpose. Your purpose is within. Now, God may put you in a situation where He wants you to learn about your gifts and how to function with them, or to be in ministry to other people, or to do many different things. He may give you very specific projects to work on. But those are things you are doing in order to achieve the singular purpose of getting rid of that wall so you can be one, spirit, soul, and body in God. God doesn't need your help, but He wants your company. So you're off the hook as far as trying to take responsibility for things that are God's job. There's only one, And he's doing quite a good job, even though we may not understand exactly what he's doing at any given time. And guess what? He is under no obligation to explain to you or anyone else why he is doing things the way he is doing them. But we have to have experienced his loving character to know to not jump to conclusions about his purposes. So we will pick it up there next week. Thanks for tuning in. But this has been Diane Thomas of Rainer's Radio. Get in touch with me if you've got any questions. Otherwise, we'll get together again next Sunday. For now, have a great night.